We've been going through, and we're going to be here in Philippians chapter 4. We've been going through a bit of Philippians chapters 3 and 4, and just looking at some amazing things that the Lord has done. As for instance, our love for one another, as our brother Paul calls brethren, dearly beloved. Amen. Aren't you excited? God bless you. Aren't you excited to have brothers and sisters in the Lord? Isn't that sweet? Somebody that you can trust and call on. Well, now sometimes they'll fail you, but that's okay, because they're with the Lord, and they will eventually come back around. Amen? Through prayer, through working. Amen. As the Lord keeps working inside of our hearts. But he calls them beloved. And then we look at the working together that they have as their co-laborers there together. You have Paul lifting up even these women that were co-laborers with them, Euodias and Syntyche. And the blessing that we have to understand that we are true yoke fellows, that we are carrying this burden together. We have God as the center. We have him as our head. He is our boss, and he guides the body of Christ in the way that he sees it fit.
Amen.
But we can rejoice in him, as we see there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And we'll see that as part of our theme for this entire book, the rejoicing that we have in the Lord. Because don't you have joy in the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, yeah, that's right. You got it. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes we come in and we're not super excited. You know, our energy might not be, you know, there might just be pains and things that are in our life that we're just like, okay, whatever. And then you come into church. Yup, here we go. I'm going to sit down and listen to the message. Here comes the sermon. But guess what happened? Doesn't the Lord start to talk to you?
Yes.
Doesn't the Lord start to move in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. Some people may come in some churches and be like, man, these people dead. You don't hear them saying nothing. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know our building used to be a funeral home?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
A movie theater.
You know? And a movie theater before that? All right, so it went from life to death to life again. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have the joy of the Lord, brothers and sisters. And even though sometimes we come in with the different burdens in that we have, it is okay, because the Lord is our strength. And he does change those times of mourning and weeping into times of joy and laughter. Amen.
Amen.
He is the one that is able to lift us up and also to give us peace, as we see here in Philippians chapter 4. He is the great peace giver. He is the one that carries us through day in and day out. But today, my dear friends, we're going to talk a little bit about our laboring together, being satisfied with God. Being satisfied with God. And I've got a question for you. Are you satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone?
Amen.
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 All right. Are you satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the reminders that we have in you. And Lord, we really need you this morning. We need you every single day, but this morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. So help us, O Lord God. There may be hearts in here that have had some depression, that have had some downtimes, that have had some struggles and anxieties. But yet, Lord God, when we put our trust in you, you lift us up. And then we can say the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then we can say, I have the peace of God, and the God of peace is standing by my side. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would be with this word today. Be with the message, oh, Lord God. Be with me, oh, Lord, because I need you. Lord, this is your word, and I don't know what to do without you. But, Lord, reach to your hearts today. Guide us and change us where we need to be changed. Help us, oh, Lord God, to be obedient doers of your word, that we would show this world that there is a God, and he's living today. Oh, Father, thank you so much for these things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me check something quick. I just saw
the man stop playing. Okay, it's gone.
Good. All right. Praise the Lord. Technology, man, this stuff, you can't trust it. You can't trust it at all. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. The Bible says here, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." How many of you say that? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
Amen. That's one of those key scriptures that we hold on to. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we can think about that in any of the deepest, darkest situations that we're in. Right, sister? Oh, man. We can think of that when there's nothing else that we have in our resource bin there, you know? We can think that the Lord, He is the one that gives us that daily strength, that grace, that guidance. But my question again to you today is, are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ enough for you? I've been blessed in my life, and there's been many different blessings that the Lord has placed my way. First, getting saved, amen. But even before that, being born into a family of past folks that have known the Lord and family of people that know the Lord. Amen. My wife has been a great blessing to me. But can I tell you this? With my wife, as the great blessing that she is, there is no way in this world or the next to come that my wife can or should take the place of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you hope that your wife will make you happy?
Yeah, but I know the Lord will make us more happy.
There you go. Man, that was rhetorical. You put it right out. I like it, brother. There you go. Right? That's the truth, though. I can't put that big burden on my wife to say, hey, look, now you got to make me happy and please me. No. The burden is not hers to bear. God is the one who is my strength. He is my joy. He is my contentment.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you this. If you were to ask my wife, she'd tell you the same exact thing. That I cannot make her happy like God can. And I'm very glad for that. Think about it. As much as we try. Years ago, I had in my mind thought of getting married, but I had, and listen to this, those of you who may not be married and may be thinking about it for the future, I had thought that, well, you know, if I do this and do that, then maybe they'll really like me, and then, you know, guess what, ladies, guess what, young men that are here, that don't work, because you're going to be fighting your entire life to gain their affection. That's not our purpose. If you're doing that, then you can't do what you're called to do in the Lord. Think about it. If you're spending all of your time and your energy trying to gain the affection of the person that loves you, that's not a real love. It's conditional. But if you put your trust right now in the Lord, then it don't matter which way it goes. And you seek somebody else who has their trust in the Lord. Wow. That is such a refreshing relationship. Because, brother, when I'm down, you know what my wife does? She gently picks me up with a swift kick in my pants. Like, get up, boy. And if my wife is down, I'm there to try to help encourage her as well in the Lord. But yet, ultimately, her strength is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? That's what I'm saying. It's not my wife. It's not finances. It's not a job. It's not the health that we have. It's none of these things.
No
security that is in this world can compare to the safety and security that we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is Jesus enough for you today? We have to remember, my brothers and sisters, that it was Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. It was not our homes, it was not our cars, those things will pass away. It was not even our wives. you know, one day we both would be with the Lord, amen?
Yes.
But you know what? Jesus Christ, he himself came and loved us so much that he extended his arms out on the cross, hung there, and bled to death so that we could have life.
Amen.
Are you satisfied with him today?
Yes.
You know, some of you guys may know part of the story of us coming out to Rochester. So there was a period of about 5 years, my wife and I being married, and she kind of joined in on this prayer with me afterwards, but just praying what direction the Lord wanted me to go in, or wanted us to go in, you know, as a family. We could stay there and continue to try to do some work out in the ministry in Amsterdam or in Perth, New York, or to come out to Buffalo or to Rochester, New York. Anybody ever had a decision before to make? Yeah? Anybody ever had a decision to make whether you're going to stay or move?
Yeah.
How about change a job? It's challenging. Scary stuff sometimes because sometimes, man, if we lose our job, I hope you don't lose your mind. Because if you do lose your mind, then maybe you were leaning too much on that job. Mm-hmm. Now think about it. So in our time there, I'm praying and saying, Lord, I mean, I could stay here for as long as you want me to. I was an administrator of a Christian school. We were doing pretty well. We were on track to do a whole bunch of different things out there, but the Lord gave me another mission. So I was praying and praying, and I've been praying for years. Do I go to Rochester, or do I go to Buffalo, or somewhere else? I made different calls, and when I called Pastor Jose, he's like, my son, oh, you were dead and now you're alive. No. What a great blessing, you know, because we have such a great relationship that way, that he was super excited, but yet he admonished and said, listen, I want whatever the Lord wants for your life. So if he brings you out here, amen. If he doesn't, amen. Long story short, we're trying to find a place, so we've come out and we've visited, and the Lord has opened the door here. We found a nice place in Webster. You know Webster is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We found a nice apartment over there in Webster. We were like, we're going to stay in this beautiful apartment. And guess what? A week before we getting ready to move, ring, 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 we get a phone call. And guess who it is? Those people out in the apartment in Webster. And they said, you've been blessed. We have given you an $1 million mansion. Yay. No, not at all. Do you know what they said? We have no place for you. Sorry. And we're like, oh, okay. So immediately, I was like, I'm calling it all off. We're not moving anywhere. No, not at all. Picked up the phone. I called my wife. I called my mom. I called a bunch of people that I knew would be praying. And we all started to pray. And as we were praying, the Lord started helping my wife to say, you know what? Maybe I should call this place back that we went to, that Woodridge apartment that we visited while we were there, because they said they had nothing for us. She called them up. And in a few moments, the lady that was there said, we have something for you. We have an apartment. I was like, what? Praise the Lord. What a great blessing. And in such a short amount of time, the saints were gathered in prayer or in different places in prayer, and the Lord answered.
Yes.
He opened up that door. Although, I had to wait an entire month. I was like, ooh, how's that going to work out? I had to wait an entire month, and I was moving in a week. You know how that worked out? The Lord put it in our brother Renee's heart to allow us to stay with him for a month. Huh. What a sweet blessing. Boy, what a wonderful refuge that is. My brothers and sisters, realize this, that there is hope and grace in Jesus Christ. And if you yourself as well look to follow after him in everything that you do, you know what's going to happen? He's going to answer. He's going to take care of you. Years, when I was single, man, when I was a single guy, I prayed all the time that God would take care of me. And I was like, I know you're going to take care of me, God. Everything is good. Then I was going to get married, and I got nervous. I got nervous, right? You're going to get married. It's like, oh, snap. It's like, this is it's so many emotions when you're going to get married. You're like, yeah. It's like, I love her so much. Oh, man, and all of these things. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm about to get married. I'm about to say, I do. Those two words have a lot of weight to them, man. And you know what happened? my fear was the same thing that the Lord had already been taking care of for me for years. I'm going to take care of you and your wife and whatever family that you have. So if you grew into 20 different Jones members in your family, then I would take care of them. If you were just the four like we are now, then I will take care of them. This is what my God does. He takes care of us every single day. To this day, I'm still not quite sure exactly how it is that the Lord is helping us to survive as we are. And it's even more than surviving. It's weird. But God is faithful.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
So, verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, our first thing. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. My dear brothers and sisters, joy and thanksgiving need to be a big part of our lives. If we don't have that joy and that thanksgiving in the Lord, it's very hard for us to have contentment as well.
Amen.
Our major point here today is contentment. But the major theme of this book of Philippians is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. There's joy when we come together. There's joy when we fellowship. There's joy when we serve together. You know, it's awesome. Here comes Cliff and he says, hey man, you know, I want to go out and on the streets and sharing the gospel with you. It's like he's only in town for a little bit and he wants to go out and talk to people about Jesus. Look at that. Praise the Lord. But it's going to be a great time to go out and to share the gospel, to let people know about the good news of Jesus Christ, which is
Amen.
Called the gospel. Amen. Thanksgiving, my friends, is the key that we have to open up the joy and the contentment that the Lord has for your life. You hear that? Thanksgiving is the key that we have to open up the joy and contentment that God has for your life. Have you ever been down before?
Yes.
You ever had some hard times in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Ever been a little bit depressed or anxious?
Yeah.
Do you know that God can give you the joy?
Absolutely.
Do you know that He can help you to be content?
Amen.
Be mindful. Who is this letter written by?
Paul.
Who is that?
Paul.
Paul. Right? Well, think about where he is when he's writing this letter. He's in jail. He's sitting down in a cold cell writing a letter talking about the joy of the Lord is my strength. How in the world? How is he going to say rejoice evermore? You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But he's sitting there in prison. And if you guys ever been caught up somewhere and you just feel like, oh, but then the joy of the Lord just started overtaking. It's like, wow. We've had many different experiences in our life. And the experiences of our life should help us to see, oh yes, God has been here all along. He's been watching out for us, been watching out for me all this time. Go over to chapter 1 in Philippians. Look at verses 3 through 5. He writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. My dear brothers and friends and sisters, we have that unity. We have that bond in Jesus Christ that we can say, I thank my God for you. Aren't you thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Ah, amen. You're thankful for the joy of the Lord. You're thankful that God has given His Son for you. You see, Paul was very excited because if you read through this letter as well, as we go on and in the next ending of this series, you'll see how these people reached out and took care of his needs. You ever had a brother or sister take care of your needs in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Could be in this church, could be from another. Amen. What a great blessing to know that God cares for us. You think that that's them. You think that it's the church. You know who it is? God. He is the one that's doing that. He's putting it into their hearts. He's inspiring them to go out and to share with you. It's that joy that we have, amen, to work together, we rejoice. that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, back in verse 10 in Philippians 4. When we give, brothers and sisters, it does flourish. We can give a very little bit, and the Lord makes it multiply into a whole bunch of things. Think about the last thing that you've done for the name of the Lord's sake. Has the Lord been in it? Did the Lord bless it? Did you see the Lord multiply it in some certain way? There's no way that we can outgive the Lord. In fact, we need to remember the words of Jesus Christ, as he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, this is that joy that we have in the Lord, that when we give, it blesses somebody else. But you know what blesses the most? God. It blesses him the most. How else can you give? We can give through finances. We can give through prayer. We can give through our time. We can give through other talents that we have. And when we do that, isn't it a blessing to somebody else? This is what the Lord is desiring of us. But you know what we have to be careful of, my brothers and sisters? Some of the cultural norms. Today's day and age, the church is in grave danger. Why? Because in so many places, in so many churches, there is creeping in the ideals and ideologies of the culture of mm-hmm. our day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we may look and we say, well, you know, that's just the church being insensitive. Well, that's just you taking on a worldly mindset mm-hmm. instead of one of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not much different than when Peter said to Paul, to Jesus, you'll never die. I won't let it happen. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You don't desire the things of God. You desire the things of man. You desire the things of Satan, of this world. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. Matthew 6, 32. Jesus here in this discourse explains that same idea. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, how do we put that in our words today? After all these things, do the Gentiles seek? Well, after all these things, does the world seek? Mm-hmm. This world is looking for the riches. This world is looking for satisfaction in everything else other than God. And that ought not to be us. Our satisfaction, our contentment is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, I was 4 years old. I had an asthma attack. Very first that I ever had in my life. And let me tell you, it was scary for a four-year-old. Uh-huh. To have a moment when you're asleep and you wake up and you can't breathe. Like I woke up and I couldn't breathe. I'm glad I woke up, amen. I woke up and I was having a really hard time. And God gave me strength. I walked over to my parents' door. I'm knocking on the door there and it says, you know. And then my mom was like, what? As I'm sitting here making signs and so on, and she's like, oh, yeah. You know, he can't breathe. He's having a hard time. They get me over to the hospital, and praise God, I can breathe. But you know what? I realized from there that God gives me every single breath that I have. Has God given you every single breath that you have? Do you thank him for it? That's the big part, is that we don't often say thank you to God. And we should. And we should. We need to be content. Look at verse 11 here in Philippians 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, contentment is a great thing. Listen. We ought not to get into that attitude of, what I have is not good enough. That's what this world is showing. That's the attitude that is in this world. But we need to be content with what we have. There's a few tips that may help us in our contentment, having the joy of the Lord through contentment. First, be thankful in everything. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
I know we say amen, but guess what? We have this flesh. That's difficult. Sometimes, you know, somebody may really get us upset. I mean, to the point where it's like blood starts boiling, you start turning red, and your eyes are like on fire. You're ready to just go at somebody. But in everything, give thanks. How do you know that person that cut you off a moment ago, that you're so mad at, that God didn't send that person your way so that you would avoid something else? Mm-hmm. You ever think about that?
Yes.
I know sometimes we think about, well, you know, you're being, so what is that, pessimist? What's the opposite? Optimistic. You know, you're one of those people who's like, hey, everything is beautiful, everything is roses. No, I'm real. But I want to, every circumstance that I see, try to find something in there that I can learn. Try to find something that will help me to grow. Try to find something that I can praise God for. Amen? Because if anybody has any reason to complain about something, Paul did. He had a great reason. I mean, he's writing from prison. How many of you have written a letter from prison before to people outside of prison? Okay? Right? Unless you've worked in the prison and you're sitting there. Hey, no, I've written letters to people in prison before. Be thankful in everything. Here's another. Give all of your worries to God. Give all of your worries to God. That'll help you with the contentment issue in your life. If we're struggling with having contentment, if we're struggling with all these things, just start saying, God, here's my worry. Here's the big problem that I have. And then be done with it.
Yes.
Look at what he says here in verse 11 at the beginning. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. Why do we speak so much about our needs? Sometimes it comes in the form of complaints. Actually, if we start off with it, which is okay for us amongst brethren. Hey, I need this. Please pray for me. Good. Hey, I need this. Please pray for me. But if we continually go at the same thing over and over again, then guess what? That's what consumes our mind. That's what consumes our heart. We ought not let that to be the case. We don't want that to speak in respect of want. We need to speak in respect of thank you, God. Because look at it this way. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and this world is seeing the Lord and the Word through you, and all they see is complaint, 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 worry, complaint, 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 worry, then guess what? What are they seeing? Do they see Jesus? They don't see Jesus. They don't see hope in your life. But if you give those over to the Lord, you learn to be thankful in everything. It starts to help. That's the stuff that starts to come out. I know that this thing has been a big bother, but you know what? I know God is greater than this thing that's in my life right now. Speak that way. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
He's bigger than all of our problems. Also, learn or give thanks to God in everything. Sounds weird. Sounds like I repeated that. Did I say that twice? You know why I said it twice? Because it's important. We forget. I mean, I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but I forget all the time to say thank you to God. I need help, Lord. We don't do it as often as we should. Think about it. If you would weigh the amount of conversation that you have with God or in this world, the complaints versus the thankfulness that you give to God, I'm sure y'all's will look a lot like mine. If not, then amen, praise God, I need to walk with you a little bit more. But for me, it's like it outweighs. I complain more than what I should. I need to be more thankful for the things that God has done. And then finally, practice godliness with contentment. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to close in this thought here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8. It says, but godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. How many here would just be content with food and clothes? I know, right? I'm glad. If you've ever been in a spot where you've been in need, wanting, you didn't have a place to live, then this statement rings out a bit more true. The problem is here in America, those of us who were born here, or those of us who have accustomed to it, because there's many people that come to this nation that start off in a great humble spirit, but then quickly adapt to the same thing that we have, the greed, the discontentment, the give me more, give me more, give me more attitude, and even in the churches. Guys, we need to learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain.